Welcome to TFL's Capital Connection, your insider source for both the policy work and the ministry work happening at the Iowa Capitol. I'm Drew Zahn, and with me, we've got a special guest here. We've got Ryan Benn. He is our director of policy here at the Family Leader, here to talk to you today because we have major policy updates happening up at the Iowa Capitol. Four of them I want to talk about in particular. One, big movement on the religious liberty front, then two key movements on the pro-life front, and then a big prayer request coming up at the end of our podcast today for a major movement on the pro-life front here in Iowa. But first, let's go back to the religious liberty front. We have been talking to you for the past several weeks about what is called RFRA, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. I'm not going to go into all of the details about RFRA because we've been talking about it and I don't want to bore you, but Tuesday evening, a major thing happened here in Iowa, a privilege and honor to be a part of it, an answer to prayer, and a thank you to all who have been a part of supporting the Family Leader, not just now in the present, but stretching back for over a dozen years. We've been working on this bill, RFRA, to restore religious liberty to Iowans. And this past week, we held an appreciation dinner for our legislators, for our governor, and for others. This is something we started last year just as a way to honor our legislators, particularly pro-family legislators who are working to advance good policy here in Iowa. And we hosted this dinner and we had something fantastic to celebrate, and that is, at long last, the passage of RFRA. And we celebrated that. We honored the legislators who helped to spearhead. That's been a policy in work, like I said, for more than a dozen years. And then the big news, what happened at the dinner itself. Ryan, you want to break the news?
Yeah. RFRA was signed by the governor. She actually attended our event. We're calling it the Family Champions Dinner. Like Drew said, we've done it for 2 years in a row now. And it's been really a blessing. Whenever you can actually, you know, pat the legislator on the back and tell them thank you for what you're doing, that goes a long ways. They get beat up a lot. So if there's something you can thank your legislator for, take the time to do it because it makes a big impact. But Kim Reynolds signed the bill at our event, and I had a big celebration. Really, really special time. It's good.
It was a beautiful evening. I know one of the people who was there to help celebrate with us was a gal by the name of Betty Odegaard. Some of you may remember her. She was a Grimes, Iowa business owner from years ago who stood up for religious liberty. Hers, they owned a beautiful church building in Grimes where they had an art gallery and sometimes wedding venue. And several years ago, we've been back in 2012, they had a couple who wanted to be a same-sex couple who wanted to be married in their chapel. And Betty and her husband, Dick, who were faithful Christian folks with a commitment and a sincere conviction of conscience on the issue of the sanctity of human marriage between a male and a female. And they politely but painfully declined to participate because it wasn't just a matter of renting a facility. They participate in what happens there at their gallery. They declined to do that and were essentially forced out of business, fined, and restricted by the government of the state of Iowa. They lost their business because they stood up for their religious liberty. And it just exposed that we here in Iowa did not have the kind of religious liberty protection that the First Amendment, frankly, of the U.S. Constitution should guarantee us. That's why at the federal level, back in 1993, President Bill Clinton signed the federal RFRA, but in Iowa, we didn't have one of those. Well, now. We do, yes, and exactly.
It was good you mentioned Betty Odegaard. To tell that story to the legislators, I mean, that's huge because they need to know that, you know, this is important. It's making an impact to people's lives. And by the way, here's a woman that you could have impacted, you know, if this had been done before. So going forward in the future, we're going to have these protections. So it's a good thing.
It is a great thing to see. You know, oftentimes in the debate up at the Capitol, when we try to advance righteous policy, because it is the right thing to do, because it is the right law to put in place, sometimes one of the arguments that gets thrown back in our face is, well, that kind of thing that you're worried about happening doesn't happen here in Iowa. Yeah. You don't have any cases of it here happening in Iowa. And of course, it's righteous policy. It needs to be in place, right, sometimes to prevent the very thing from happening. But here in this case, we had a concrete example of, no, this is why the legislation was needed. It actually impacted negatively at least this couple here in Iowa, if not many others. And so it was good to be able to show the legislators, this is a real issue. It's impacting Iowans, and doing the right thing makes a real difference.
Yep.
Speaking of making a real difference, I told you we had a couple of big updates on the pro-life front. And speaking of arguments that often get thrown in our face, it is often said when folks argue, pro-life folks argue for protections for babies in the womb, it's often said, well, you only care about the child in the womb. Of course, this argument is nonsense. Christians and pro-lifers both lead the country in foster care and adoption and caring for mothers both before and after birth, caring for women who've had abortions and helping them to recover from that incredibly traumatic and wounding event. Christians and pro-lifers are actively engaged in all of these kinds of ministries, and yet we get thrown in our face this lie that we only care about children. We only care about children before they're born, and we don't care about mom, etc. Well, this past week, two big updates. Again, it was pro-lifers, go figure, and yep, Christians, go figure, who were arguing for leading the charge on a couple of bills that are specifically helpful to moms, both before and after birth.
Yeah, one of them's actually called Moms. So, I mean, properly named. But the Moms Bill, it's really an update to the Moms Bill that was passed last year, but it makes it so it can go into effect. We were having trouble getting a provider to issue the grants to pregnancy resource centers that are providing needed services for mothers. And this bill is going to fix that. And there's over $1 million in a fund that's ready to go to pregnancy resource centers that are helping new moms that have expenses, really just being there for moms that, you know, should I have my baby? Should I not? There's someone there to help you if you do. So it's a pro-life bill. It's a good thing. Caring for moms and the babies too. So that was the first one.
Before we move on to the second one, I just want to just update folks. You may remember from last year, the year before, when we first talked about passing the Moms Bill. Moms, by the way, is an acronym, stands for More Options for Maternal Support. And the whole goal was to make funds available so that places that were genuinely going to help these mothers could provide tangible aid. So we're talking things like formula and diapers and car seats and cribs and counseling and support groups and seminars on what it's like to be a parent and what to expect when you're expecting, to quote a famous book. And there are so many, there are ministries across the state who are actively wanting and willing to do this. But as a way of caring for these moms from a health outcome perspective, there was an opportunity for the state to come along and say, we know that moms and babies and children will have a better outcome when they receive this kind of aid. Long term, it saves lives. Long term, it actually saves money. We need to help these women at this critical juncture. And so the Moms Bill, a way of tangibly aiding women who are in crisis pregnancies, particularly, to get the help that they need to live, to thrive, and to establish a good foundation for their family. The Moms Bill was passed a couple of years ago, but like many government programs, it takes a while to get all the pieces in the place, to get the funding, to get the administration of it, etc. That was getting bogged down in the weeds, and this past week, we saw a major hurdle cleared towards the day, hopefully very soon, when the Moms program will be fully up and running. So that's one big improvement. Another bill passed this past week as well. Ryan, tell us about that.
Yeah, so this bill, it's actually a Medicaid bill, but it helps new moms because when new moms are on Medicaid, their postpartum medical expenses are only covered. I think it was like, it's not long at all. It was like 2 months. I forget what the original amount was, but that this bill extends that. So it's for a full year. So we're helping moms that are already on Medicaid, extending that coverage to help them out as they get started.
Yeah, so Medicaid typically covers low income moms, yeah. right? And so when the family gives, when the mom gives birth to the child, she's covered for certain expenses. Mm-hmm. And previously, until last week, those funds, those coverage would run out after just a couple of months.
Yeah.
And we recognize there's lots more. In many cases, women who need continued help, especially health issues for that first year after birth, so after the pregnancy. So expansion there to help those moms as well. Caring for moms and children, as we say, hashtag love them both.
Yep.
Then we have, so that's religious liberty. That's pro-life bill, all three passed now, signed, at least the RFRA one is. I don't know if the governor signed the other two yet because they're brand new.
Not yet.
Yep. Yep, but that'll be coming down the pike as well as the governor signs those into law. She's pledged to do so.
Yes.
We have, however, speaking of the pro-life front, obviously pro-lifers here in Iowa are also working to protect children in the womb. One of those ways that the family leader has led on, along with the Iowa Coalition of Pro-Life Leaders, which is a group of other pro-life organizations here in Iowa, some of the names that you would recognize, some secular, some faith, you know, the Catholic groups, etc. This Coalition of Pro-Life Leaders has been championing for years what we call the heartbeat bill. You know, our gold standard isn't just heartbeat. I know some people ask that question as well. So let me clarify there. Our gold standard, what we at the Family Leader are working towards, is the day when all life is cherished. From the moment of conception to natural death, cherished and protected by law. That's our ultimate goal. And if someone says, well, you want to see all abortions outlawed, the answer is except in the case of where the abortion is necessary to save the life of a mother, extremely rare case. But yeah, the answer is yes. We want to see all life cherished and protected. However, the legislature isn't always amenable to that idea. And so we look to make progress where we can. And one of the ways we were able to make progress and a tremendous victory back in 2018 was the passage of the very first heartbeat bill. It said, if you can hear a child's heartbeat in the womb, the child is clearly alive and deserves protection. Yes, we would like to see that extended all the way back to the point of conception, but the legislature was able to get on board, took a lot of work. In 2018, we saw that law passed. And then the Iowa Supreme Court stepped in, and it has been now, 2018, it's now 2024, six years.
Yep.
I can do math. Thank you, Ryan, for yeah. helping me out there. 6 years of wrangling in the courts. We even saw last year, I believe it was, a special session of Congress called to pass the heartbeat bill again. So the Iowa Supreme Court would recognize we mean business. We intend to save babies' lives and to protect and honor those made in the image of God and knit together in their mother's womb. We mean it. We intend to do this. And sure enough, courts got involved again. Another case brought against the heartbeat bill, and it's back before the Iowa Supreme Court. And that is why today we are asking for your prayers specifically. Ryan, why?
Yeah, we've got oral arguments in the next heartbeat case on Thursday in the afternoon at 1:30.
This Thursday, April 11th.
Yep. And, this case, it's titled Planned Parenthood versus Reynolds. And it's actually the sixth case to have that title since she's been governor. So it's been quite the saga. Every abortion-related law that's been passed has been, there's been a lawsuit. It goes up to the Supreme Court. They make a decision. It's gone up and down. The first decisions, back 6 years ago were not good. We had one really good decision that was a great positive step in the right direction 2 years ago. And last year was a major disappointment. The court punted on deciding whether or not the heartbeat bill is constitutional now or not. So we had to have that special session you talked about, passed the law again. There's another lawsuit when we're finally back to the Supreme Court. It's been a lot of waiting. We're hoping we can get a good, favorable decision this time and that they won't punt it again, because they could. There is a way they could punt it again, but just be praying for a good result there.
Yeah. So we are asking earnestly for your prayers. And I would just like to say on a personal note, because I agree with many of you, I wish this could be so much simpler. I wish that we could just pass a law. I wish that we could just transform the minds of Americans to see what is plainly obvious. This child in her mother's womb, she's a baby, and she deserves protection. She deserves a birthday. I wish it was that easy, but it's not. The reality is, when it comes to government, when it comes to laws, when it comes to the courts, it's a process. It takes time. There's back and forth. Implementation is often years. Even if Governor Reynolds had the power to, it still wouldn't be as simple as snapping her finger and saying, that's it, babies are protected. She can't do that. Doesn't work like that. And it takes years. Those years of work, of paying attention to what's happening at the Capitol, in elections, in the Supreme Court, that's what the family leader is here for. That's what we're doing. Ryan, I want to thank you for your diligence on this matter. Chuck Hurley, who is often one of our guests here, I want to thank him as well. He's not here today, but one of the things that Chuck Hurley likes to say, he quotes scripture. I don't remember exactly where it is, somewhere in Proverbs, where it says, "The diligent shall rule."
I hear that probably once a week from him. It's an encouragement to be diligent.
So. Exactly. The family leader is diligent. We are your representatives for your values, for biblical values at the Iowa Capitol. So I want to thank you for your support. I want to thank you for your prayers. I want to thank you for your generosity as we work to be diligent to save lives here in Iowa. And I want to invite and ask you to join us to be diligent in prayer this Thursday as oral arguments are heard in the heartbeat case. Until next time, thank you for listening to TFL's Capitol Connection.
This podcast is a project of the Family Leader and the Family Leader Foundation, and is only possible through the generous support of our donors. If you would like to partner with us in our work, please visit thefamilyleader.com/give.